CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, independent campus community radio from Simon Fraser University. We broadcast on the unceded ancestral territory of the Coquitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh. We also stream online at cjsf.ca and listen to podcasts of our programs and our website.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
Welcome, dear listeners, to New Dimensions Radio. Today, we embark on a journey of healing and self-discovery, exploring the transformative power of integrating psychotherapy, psychedelics, and ancient wisdom to help individuals forge deeper connections with themselves. Joining us is Sunny Strasberg, a multifaceted therapist who has dedicated her life to helping others navigate the complex landscape of healing and integration. She is the author of The Theradelic Approach, Psychedelic Therapy, Perspective, Preparation, and Practice. As the creator of The Theradelic Approach, Sunny skillfully weaves together cutting-edge therapeutic techniques with the judicious use of psychedelics like ketamine to create a powerful catalyst for healing and growth. Join us for the next hour as we delve into Sunny's remarkable journey. Together, we will explore how each of us, in our own unique path, can begin to unlock our inner healing potential and move towards a life of greater wholeness, compassion, and resilience. I'm your host, Travis Glenn Sabara. Welcome to New Dimensions. Welcome, Sunny.
Thank you so much. I love that introduction. I appreciate that.
I'm so excited to have you here today and help our listeners learn more about the Theradelic Approach. But to get us started, I'm wondering if we could walk back your own personal history. I know you were an artist before embarking on this path, and so I'm wondering how far back that journey of artist goes for you and how it led you here.
You said were, and I don't think I was an artist. I still am an artist.
Wonderful.
Once an artist, always an artist. Wouldn't you agree, Travis?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're a musician too, so you know. Yeah, I think ever since I was a really young girl, I always loved drawing, loved art. It was interesting. I didn't understand until much later that I really loved the symbolic qualities of art and communicating to others. And that was really what I loved about creating art, was relating with other people. And then that wove itself later into becoming a psychotherapist. But I still paint often. My husband and I, Martin Stensis, paint together and create large murals together. And it's very much a part of my life.
That's fantastic to hear, of course, that it's still here and that you share it with your partner. Mm-hmm. And part of that approach of both being a therapist, but also being a young emergent artist, we need the mirroring, we need the reflection from others to do that. So can you recall that first time that you felt seen as an artist yourself?
I don't know the first time, but I got a lot of attention in my family for being an artist. It was known that I was going to grow up and be a painter, and I was very encouraged. And that's such a different story than many kids who are discouraged from their creative lives. I was always quite mystical and curious and loved nature, and that all wove itself into my artwork. And initially, when I went to graduate school, I went to graduate school in archetypal psychology, Jungian psychology, and was really interested in weaving art into my therapy practice. So that was very much alive and still remains alive for me.
We're really getting to the end of the journey here. I love talking about what that can be, but let's go back and walk a little more. What the process of someone might be if they decide they do want to go on this journey? What should they be considering? What do they think they're asking for?
The journey of psychedelic medicine?
Yeah.
It's really interesting because in the 60s and 70s, you know, we had all this propaganda about how psychedelics were your brain frying like an egg in a frying pan. And now we're in this really interesting time where it's the total countervalence to that, where, you know, you take mushrooms once and it's going to heal you forever. And, you know, with popular shows like How to Change Your Mind on Netflix.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm having a lot of people that are very interested in hearing these amazing results that we're finding with psychedelic medicine. And so now the message isn't so much trying to, inform people about psychedelics and their benefit, but more managing expectations that this is a journey and a process. And that the way that I see the psychedelic medicine is it's an amplifier to help aid the process of working through trauma, helping alleviate depression and anxiety. It's not the center point. It's not the only factor. There are many factors to the healing journey.
That's what I really appreciated also in the book, is you brought in so many facets of what you draw upon to do that. But let's unpack that one term real quick about the amplifier. And there's a quote in your book from Albert Hoffman from 2009, where psychedelics are non-specific amplifiers of the unconscious. And so I'm wondering if you can help our listeners understand what that term means at a more nuanced level.
Definitely. And, you know, we have to go to this presupposition that he's talking about. The idea is that, and many different religious and mystical traditions talk about this, that consciousness is in everything, contained in everything. And it's this vast field of everything that consciousness is imbued with. And the way that he understood it was that the human brain was like a huge filter that collapsed this reality of consciousness everywhere and filtered out most of it. And so when we think about psychedelics in that way, the idea is that they expand our ability to take in more consciousness. So that idea is that there's a reality out there that we're tapping into and opening our minds up to this larger field, which I've come to really think seriously about. I haven't come to the final idea of whether psychedelics are invented, that our experiences are invented by our minds within the confines of our minds, or if we're discovering. Are we inventors or discoverers? I don't know.
That is such a fascinating question, right? If we're on a journey, which one is it? And do we need to know? Do we need to have the answer to that? Is also something that I was wondering about too.
I love that you said that, Travis Glenn, because I think so much of our culture is about either or, a single point answer. And I think it's and both. I think it's a collaboration of invention and discovery. You know, our all of our experiences, our neurobiology, our biology, all of that is kind of wired in us. And we're interpreting things, you know, we're perceiving the outside world and our internal inside world through this filter system. And that is a collaboration. You know, you could think of it as a collaboration with the divine or your higher self or even your neurobiology, you know, that it's a collaboration and an expression of consciousness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's truly an integrative approach, because we're not just taking one slice of what our understanding can be, but you're willing to include everything. And I like that you just brought in biology as well, that we do need to bring in the science of that, as well as the mystical experiences that may be occurring. And I'm wondering, as within all of this, what the role of love is in your work. And one of the fundamental questions many religions ask is, are human beings fundamentally good or fundamentally evil? And so I think this question comes up if we're going to do this work.
That's a great That's a great subject to think about. I can't tell you how many times I've had clients emerge from their journey and say, everything is really love. It sounds so cliche, but everything is just love. It pervades everything. I mean, it happens all the time in psychedelic journeys. And it's really changed my mind, you know, just witnessing how common that experience is. And so, yes, I think, you know, I use internal family systems in the Theradelic approach. That's a really important component of it. And we talk about self energy with a capital S.
Right.
And self energy is all these different qualities. And one of the main qualities is compassion. Mm-hmm. And that is a real constant. When, you know, our understanding of psychedelics with this approach is there is, you know, it's common, you hear it commonly in psychedelic therapy. There's an innate healing intelligence. There's this idea, and it's, you know, and in a lot of healing traditions, it's the same idea where the body will naturally heal when you give it the conditions to heal. The psyche will naturally move toward wholeness and well-being when we give it the conditions to do so. And that's really a presupposition that the Theradelic approach is based on. And I think that includes compassion. I think we are naturally very compassionate. If you observe infants and young kids, they're naturally very curious, connected. They're very compassionate. They want to interact with others. You know, I think that's our innate way of being, and that we become burdened with all of these traumas later that make us suspicious of others, fearful of others. You know, that comes later.
I really like that you're bringing in the 8 C's of IFS, because in a way that's kind of the invitation of what might be available if we do this work together. And I'm wondering, what are some of the other C's that we orient toward? I wish I'd made a list.
I've memorized them.
Great.
So calm and curious, confident, connected, courageous, creative, clear, and compassionate.
Yeah. And I wanted to bring those out again, because I know that setting an intention for a journey is very important at that time. And so we can use the 8 C's to draw upon an intention for ourselves.
Absolutely. And that is part of the Theradelic approach. When I outline the trajectory of the treatment protocol for clinicians, a part of that is working with people in the preparation phase to get really clear about what their expectations are, what they're hoping for. And I ask at every retreat, which of the 8 C's would you like to bring more of in your life? You know, connectedness, creativity. There's always something that we want to have more of, you know, more connection to.
In the book also, you talk about society these days perhaps having like the Peter Pan complex. Mm-hmm. And so if we're looking at the world as a whole of having this developmental stage, what C's then are people asking for out of that?
That's a great question. You know, we're in such a time of social isolation. The most common thing I hear is connectedness. Okay. You know, and that I'm moving more and more toward group therapy, because I see that, you know, it's kind of weird when you think about using psychedelics in an isolated office with a single practitioner, because for thousands and thousands of years, Indigenous communities have been doing these medicines in group settings, in tribal settings. And it feels so natural when we bring that into a group process. And so that connection with other humans is really remarkable for people.
I'm speaking with Sunny Strasberg, author of The Theradelic Approach: Psychedelic Therapy, Perspective, Preparation, and Practice. If you want to know more about her work, you can go to sunnystrasberg.com. That's sunnystrasberg.com. Or you can get there at newdimensions.org. I'm Travis Glenn Sabera. You're listening to New Dimensions. Thank you. We're here speaking with Sunny Strasberg, author of The Theridelic Approach. And we're talking a bit about the idea of doing these journeys in a group setting or a community setting versus just a one-on-one session with a therapist. And I really want to understand more about the importance of this, of group mirroring and group witnessing as part of the healing process.
Yes. You know, and that's to say sometimes people are not ready to do a group experience. They need more holding, you know, individually. But when people are ready to join the group, I see the group as a healing agent, another facet of the holistic approach that I try to create at these retreats and these experiences. You know, in internal family systems, we see ourselves as a multiplicity of different parts, right? We have different parts that are exiles, that are protectors and managers. And so when we're processing in a group process, someone else in the circle might be processing with an exile that's very hurt and feels like they weren't good enough for their parents, for example. And that inevitably brings up something within each of us that's related to that part. And so like we said earlier, that psychedelics are non-specific amplifiers, I think the group process is also an amplifier because it's potentiating that healing where you're watching and witnessing someone else healing. And then that in turn is helping you witness your own internal ecosystem and healing that as well.
That's so beautiful. I get chills just thinking about the possibility of doing this in a group. And I'm wondering, as you're preparing each individual of that group, what are some of the questions or some of the resistance maybe, or the gung-ho that you see in people when they're thinking of taking this into a group experience?
It's so interesting, right? Because there is the one facet that is taking psychedelics and the fear that can come up with our protectors around losing control or you know, being unguarded. So that's one facet of it. And then there's this whole other experience of people being with other people, right? And being vulnerable in front of people they don't know. I'm a very, very much a consent-based therapist in terms of making sure that all the parts within one's internal ecosystem are ready for this journey. So taking all the time we need for preparation is important. I'm not rushing anyone into a group experience.
And even at the last minute, allowing someone to say, not yet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. It's interesting because we are living in such a strange time that's different than any other time humans have lived, where we live in a little box separate from other people, right? This is very new. This hasn't been how humanity has lived.
Okay.
Right? We live in group experiences. That's been our history. We're used to being pro-social. And so it's kind of a thing to overcome what it might be like to be vulnerable in front of others. But what's interesting, Travis Glenn, about that experience is that when you witness vulnerability in others, it opens up something within ourselves to allow ourselves to be vulnerable. And the bonding that happens in these retreats is very profound. I have many people come and say, this experience has been one of the most life-changing experiences of my life. Wow. And it wasn't just the psychedelic.
Right.
It was this cohort that I was in and the bonds that we've made through this process. It's really important.
I'm so glad you're really taking a stand for that. And you're also articulating, too, that it's not only the psychedelic, too. It's also the therapeutic process that the guide is bringing to this as well. And so your book also makes a case for best practices for guides to ensure that you're ready to actually lead someone on a journey.
Absolutely. And I like to say facilitator more than guide.
Okay.
And the reason why is that you're not outside of the experience. It's not like the therapist or the facilitator is some expert that's outside directing the experience. And guide almost has that connotation.
Okay. Yes.
So if you'll allow me to
facilitator, to make that, it is absolutely.
Yeah. So yes, it's, you know, a big reason why that's important is that often, because our protectors are softened during the psychedelic experience, we can have trauma emerge that we were unaware of before. So the person needs to be well-trained and trauma-informed. And this was a huge impetus for writing the Theradelic Approach, really helping therapists and facilitators know what to do when. Right.
And can we just go back to just even the basic of helping our listeners understand what trauma might be versus something that just was an unpleasant event that isn't trauma?
I don't really like to dictate for people what is traumatic and what is not, because it's very individual with how we respond to different events. And so the way that I conceptualize trauma is that parts of us are stuck in the past and think that that event is still happening.
Okay.
And what's interesting about that is that those, I'm talking about this through the IFS lens because I think it's the most efficient way of talking about it. So if you imagine that these exiled parts are stuck in the past and they're looping in this trauma response, sometimes they can be so buried in our psyche by our protective system that we're not even aware, but we're having some discomfort and some things trigger us that we can't quite figure out what they are. Right. We know something's there, but we don't quite know what it is. And sometimes with psychedelic experiences, those can emerge. Those experiences can emerge more lucidly. What's interesting about trauma, if you look at a functional MRI scan of someone recalling trauma, the parts of their brain that activate and deactivate are exactly the same as if the trauma is happening right now.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So what's interesting is after we do trauma processing, something like EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, that's a very effective trauma methodology. If we do 8 sessions of EMDR and then we scan the brain again, it'll light up totally differently, where the frontal lobes now are activated and the amygdala, which is the fear center of the brain, is quiet. And so now the brain is lighting up like a regular memory that happened in the past instead of right now. And that's really our goal. What we want to do is to help people who have trauma say, that was a terrible experience, but it's in the past. It's not happening now. And I'm safe now.
To make that connection that now is happening now.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And you write about too, in preparing the clients for the journey, you do something called trauma mapping. Mm-hmm. And I assume that that's what we've been talking about here.
Yes, that's one of the steps. There are several steps in working with the trauma, but trauma mapping in the preparation phase is really important. So you're looking at, you're creating a map, a landscape of what the traumas have been. And that's really to kind of help both the client and the therapist understand what we're undertaking, right?
Do you find during these conversations that maybe something even occurs to the client that they hadn't even thought of before beginning this process?
Absolutely. So there's a method that you can use in EMDR called the float back technique.
Okay.
And this is what I use in the trauma mapping phase, where you look at an amalgamation of a negative belief, a somatic or a sensation, physical sensation in the body. And you have the client float back in time over all the times that has happened in the past, right? Okay. And it's very interesting because that often becomes a filter from the first time it occurred. If you're going backward in time, you're tracing those same events over and over again through time. And then you can find this keystone event that began that whole process. Right. And so may I give an example? Do I have time to give
Please,
an example?
Yeah. If you have a story, that'd be great.
Yeah. I think that helps. Right. So if someone comes to me and they say, I want to process, you know, I have this boss at work that really triggers me, and he gives me this look and it sends me over the edge, and I just feel activated by that. Okay, so what's happening in your body? I have this, you know, knot in my stomach, and I have this belief like I'm in trouble. So then I'll say, can you float back and tell me other times that you felt that way? And so that, and then the belief is, you know, I'm in trouble. I'm bad. So then they'll go back and they'll say, oh yeah, you know, in college, I remember a teacher looking at me that way. And I had that same knot in my stomach, and go back even further. Okay. When I was 3 years old, my father gave me that same look, and I felt like I was in terrible trouble. So now you have the origin of that trauma, and that becomes the keystone event that then you're working on in the psychedelic experience.
Yeah. And then how would you then bring the bridge of the pre-work of bringing out this story and then make it into a wonderful Theradelic experience?
With the psychedelic, yeah. So, you know, often psychedelics take us in totally different directions. And I encourage the facilitator to be really open to wherever the journey is taking people. Sometimes people's nervous system just needs a break and they don't think about their trauma at all during the journey, right? And so we're not forcing that upon them. You're just opening that as, you remember, the entire process throughout the therapy, the Theradelic experience, is the journey. It's not just when you take the medicine, the whole thing, all the sessions before and after are part of your journey, right? So they'll have let's say they're doing a mid-dose ketamine experience. And during the ketamine experience, the trauma doesn't come up at all. It's not even relevant. They're flying around with dolphins and going to the center of the universe and seeing a unicorn or whatever. And then they come and emerge out. And while they're in that period of time after, if it's appropriate, if they bring it up saying, you know, I know we were working on this stuff with my dad and it didn't come up at all in my journey. And then there's an opportunity then for the facilitator to say, how are you feeling? How are those parts feeling that we met earlier, that little boy that was so afraid of his dad? How is he now? And then you can pick up that thread again. And often that distress that they were feeling before is lessened because of the journey that they just had, but you can then work with that material after.
What I'm hearing in the way you're talking about that conversation after the journey, more specifically, what I'm not hearing is that you're not trying to bring a certain outcome. You're not trying to have a very specific conversation, that it's very much client-led of what they're bringing after the journey. And I really want to highlight that. It really is the facilitation you're talking about rather than forcing or needing anything to happen.
I love that you picked up on that because it's very much the case. And this is based on that assumption that the psyche will heal when given the space. Mm-hmm. I have consultation therapists that I consult all the time that say, well, they didn't bring up their trauma. They just had a good experience. And I always answer, isn't that kind of the point? Are we trying to help them alleviate their distress? That's the idea, right?
Is that one hallmark of healing, is that it just doesn't even occur to us that the trauma has been a part of our life, that we get on with the 8 C's?
Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can get to that deep enough experience that we have an alleviation of all of those parts that carry the trauma, and then they repopulate back in. And that's when we realize the contrast.
I'm speaking with Sunny Strasberg, author of The Theradelic Approach, Psychedelic Therapy, Perspective, Preparation, and Practice. If you want to know more about her work, you can go to sunnystrasberg.com, or you can get there at newdimensions.org. I'm Travis Glenn Sabera. You're listening to New Dimensions.
New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find